sure you're ready?
I am positively ready.
Born ready?
Born ready.
All right, well, we're already rolling, so you don't really have a choice.
Oh,
wow. That's kind of how I do it to everybody.
I kind of like that.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Next 90. I am your host, Nick, and this is The Next 90 with Nick. What the hell does that mean? Well, you're about to hear from somebody who can tell you what that means for their life. I'm super stoked. I have a great friend, a great, great friend. And I know I say that a lot on these episodes, but when I say great friend, like, this man and I go back to like pre-puberty. Like, that's how far we go back. He's also known as Mr. E, aka King Jeff Bataishi.
What is up, everybody?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, man.
Jeff Bataishi. Now, Jeff has a very interesting last name. Can you just... Okay, so his last name is Bataishi. Okay, Bataishi. Bataishi. So you might think like B-A-T-I-E-C-H-Y or something like that. But no, go ahead and spell your last name real quick.
Okay, so it is B-H-A-E-D-H-A-Y-A-J-I-B-H-X-Y-Z.
No, the X-Y-Z is not right, but everything before that was his actual last name. How many letters are in it?
13.
13 letters in his last name. growing up, I think we had a couple classes together, but how did your teachers pronounce that?
They just, when it came to my name, there was just a long pause, and I knew that they were looking at the sheet, and they were trying to pronounce my last name, so they would go,
Jeffrey?
Look around the room, Jeff, and then continue looking around the room, and then, you know, I just would raise my hand and be like, yep, that's me.
Because they think like it's Ty, right?
It is Ty.
Yeah. So,
but they have no clue what it is.
They think it was like
typo. Yeah, possibly.
Like a typo. Because it's like BH and then it goes into like all these different letters. Anyway, so Jeff and I've known each other for a long time. I don't think if I had like a gun to my head, I could spell your last name correctly.
Yeah, there are very, very few people that can spell it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, but I asked you this question, but I wanted the audience to hear it. When you go to Thailand and you show it to someone, do they pronounce it properly?
They have no clue.
They have no clue.
No clue. What? From what I know, like, I've been to Thailand once and everyone still has to kind of, I mean, they can kind of maybe guess it.
Yeah.
But they don't pronounce it perfectly. Mm. Yeah. We have to say it and they say it.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And is that kind of common with Thai last names?
You know, not all of them, but mine specifically. I think it's because when my parents first came here, that's how they decided to spell it. Mm. So in Thai, it's said differently than the way you would say it.
Yeah, because there's some different letters in the Thai alphabet, right?
Right.
Yeah. So,
right. And just over the years, pronouncing it different ways to different people, I don't even know how to say it. Like, I say it differently than how my parents say it.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think I said it differently one time. Bataishi or something like that. But I know it's Jeff Bataishi.
You've always said it like that, actually.
Bataishi. Yeah. Jeff Bataishi. Jeff Bataishi.
Jeff Bataishi.
Yeah, yep. Jeff Bataishi. But he goes by Jeff Bay because it's so much easier.
So much more sexy, too.
Yeah, it is, actually. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to the main stage, Mr. Jeff Bay.
Yeah.
So Jeff and I go way back. So before we get into this, just name, what you do for work, married, not married, kids, no kids. And yeah, we'll kick it off from there.
Because
I know, but I need the audience to know.
Jeffrey Bataishi, 39 years old. I am not married, engaged to a beautiful lady named Bridget. No children, but I do have a child. Her name's Sienna. And she is Bridget's daughter, and she will soon be my daughter. And I'm in the finance business, home finance business.
Got it.
Yeah.
Meaning you do?
I'm a lender. I do mortgages, private money.
And you've been in real estate and mortgage for quite
since
some time,
since I was 19 years old.
And I think you're
quite a bit.
It goes way back in your family too, right?
Yep.
At least the real estate side.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've been doing this a long, long time.
Long time. It's been in the family for a while. My mother actually was a mortgage broker. So growing up, as soon as, you know, I started high school, she got into the business, did very well for herself. And when I decided, you know, to look for, you know, I went to school, obviously, and then, you know, decided I wanted to go a more streamlined route as far as my career was concerned, and kind of already knew the business. Yeah. And so I got into it.
Got it. So Jeff and I, like I said, we go back to 12 years old, probably.
Probably.
Yeah, 12.
Junior high school.
Junior high school. Canyon Hills Junior High School in Chino Hills, California. Yeah. Now, for those of you that are listening all over the world, Chino Hills is like a suburb, upper middle class, you know, or middle class community. I got some shit, by the way, from one of my old neighbors. She's like, I heard you say on your podcast. Actually, she doesn't sound like that because she's probably listening right now. She said, Nick, I heard you say on your podcast that Chino Hills is a lower middle class community. I'm like, well, it kind of, she's like, no, it's not. I'm like, well, the area that you live in, the area I grew up in, maybe it's probably at the upper middle class. But if you looked at Chino Hills as a whole, it's very much middle class.
You know, surprisingly, I heard that podcast too, and I almost text you because it is actually
an upper
middle class. Yeah,
I stand corrected. I didn't even know I said it. I'm like, did I really say lower middle class? But regardless,
you got to go back to Chino Hills for a bit, buddy.
I know, man. I need to
go visit.
Need to get back to my roots. So we grew up in Chino Hills, California. It's considered the Inland Empire. It's like on the cusp of Orange County, San Bernardino County, and LA County, kind of where they all kind of come together in this perfect little triangle. And you kind of got a mix of all of that in Chino Hills. You got like the LA type people, you got the, you've got the Orange County type people, and you've got the San Bernardino type people. So, you know, we grew up in nice homes, nice neighborhood, right? Never really like in want or need of anything. But like really never were exposed to like big time money.
Right.
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 So what was your childhood like growing up?
So I moved to Chino Hills when I was 7, and I really can't remember before that. I think we had lived in Puente Hills before that. But growing up in Chino Hills, it was a lot different than I see, like, for instance, Siena growing up. You know, we literally would go to school, come home, beg to go outside and play with our friends in the street until the streetlights came on. Kind of like, I mean, I think that was very normal for our age.
Yeah.
And, you know, no phones. No TV, no YouTube, you know, none of that stuff that's occupying, I think, a lot of kids' minds these days. But, you know, we played outdoors.
We did. And that was the type of town where, like, your parents just let you ride your bike.
Yeah, or, very safe place.
Yeah, or walk.
Yeah.
Anywhere, right? Yeah. I mean, I was riding my bike from my home to Canyon Hills Elementary, where that's where you and I first met.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Chino Hills was a great town, and like people did well there, but there was some like really, really nice homes, you know. I tell everybody the story about, I met one of my friends and he lived in the canyon, and he had those mansions back there in the canyon. I was like, what did your dad do? And he's like, he's an entrepreneur. I'm like, wow, I'm gonna be one, you know. When I grow up, I didn't even know what it was. I thought it was like a certain career. You went to school to become an entrepreneur.
Go to class for it. Yeah.
Yeah. So Jeff and I, like I said, we go way back. And then the irony of this story, and you'll see how it comes full circle, is that our lives, like, I wouldn't say like you and I were like great friends, you know, like we were friends, we were acquaintances, but it's not like we like spent a shitload of time together.
Right, like we weren't sleeping at each other's houses and no sleepovers and stuff, but we just knew each other from school.
Yeah, see each other and say hi, and we were cool. And
we had some good common friends, I think.
Exactly, like some mutual friends. And then, you know, we graduate high school, and like he goes his way, I go my way. And then all of a sudden we end up on the same street in Brea. Like, how random is that?
Or not super random. Or not, and we knew each other well enough to know, like, when we saw each other again, hey, that's Nick, you know?
Yeah,
and
of course. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was just super random.
Yeah.
Super. Cause I moved. I don't know if you remember this. I actually left school my junior year. I moved to Hawaii.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
And so coming back, you know, having been in Hawaii for a couple of years, and then, you know, seeing you, like, probably what, we're 21?
Yeah, we're 21. So that was like five, 6 years or something like that after.
Yeah. And you were probably the only person that, I mean, besides a couple other friends, like, I hadn't seen anyone from school.
Yeah. And so it was weird. Like, our hometown, a lot of people that live there, they stay there. They stay there. And so I had gone to school. I went up to San Francisco State and came back. And so anyways, we end up on the same street, and we're like, it's good to have a friend. And then our paths kind of like kept crossing each other throughout like career. You were on the mortgage side of the business. I was on the mortgage marketing side.
Right.
I remember I talked about, like, now this is another 5 years transpires. I talked about subleasing your office.
Yeah. So when I saw you in Brea, We lived on the same street. By the way, I got to mention, you had a really cool party. Do you remember that party?
Yeah. I had lots of good parties, man. Was that the poker party? Yeah. So me and my brother got into fucking Boiler Room, and we were watching.
That's exactly what it was.
We watched Boiler Room one too many times. and decided to open up our own casino for one night inside of my two bedroom, two bath apartment. Remember, I had a cocktail server.
Oh yeah, it was pretty legit actually.
Dude, I was wearing a suit. They were calling us the Maloof Brothers. And people, this is like a real blown casino, and Jeff's a bit of a gambler across the board and all things, but he likes to play cards. And like, we had like a real, like, you come in, you could exchange $100 for chips and you could play, and there was a girl walking around, right?
Yeah.
And she was wearing a what?
A bikini.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. She was wearing a bikini serving drinks in. Dude, we ended up making money that night.
I bet you guys did.
Yeah. We did. Yeah. Dude, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I don't even know why that just popped in my mind like that in the car in my garage.
That's right.
You know, but talking about that, you were in a completely different space. You were doing, I think, energy efficient lighting.
Yes, I had just started my quote unquote entrepreneurial career.
And this is like 15, 16 years ago, 17 years ago. Yeah, so that was 16, a big thing back ago. Then, right? Yeah. No one really was using that.
It was just getting started. Like, yeah. I mean, this light right here is all LEDs, right? That didn't even exist. No. And we were the first ones in that market.
Yeah. So you were doing great.
Yeah.
And I was doing great. I just bought that place. That's right. And, you know, we're 21, 22 years old. We're making money. And then fast forward 5 years, right?
Was it five?
Was it five? No, six
yeah.
or seven.
Yeah, it was five. Cause I was 22 and I was around 27, 28. Okay. So yeah.
That's when I ran into you at Giancarlo's office. Yeah.
Yeah. So we have a mutual friend, Giancarlo Maniacci.
Yeah.
If you're listening, Giancarlo, I'm so jealous of your hair. He's got like the best.
He's a good looking guy.
I call him Munchichi, man. Cause he's just got this thick head of hair. Anyway, Giancarlo Maniacci.
So yeah, no, it was just crazy to see you, like, you know, 6-7 years later, and then you're in a completely different space. You were in lead gen.
Yep. I had a faux hawk.
You might have had a faux. I'm not sure. I don't remember.
I had a faux hawk, bro. It was quite depressing.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah, we just kept on running into each other. And like the span was like always 5 or 6 years, and you know, we're both doing well.
Yep.
I think. And then I don't think I saw you when you were doing bad. I don't think you saw me when I was doing bad until like after you started doing good again.
Right.
And yeah.
So I went, so Jeff, like, we were both kind of on an upward trajectory, both back when we were in like 21. And then now in the mortgage era, the mortgage era fell off, and that's when I really exploded, like, you know, financially, and then imploded emotionally. And I think you went the opposite way. You exploded in the mortgage business, and then as sort of things imploded, right?
No. So I did well all after it too. Yeah. Really? I exploded after it. So like 2010, 11. Well, I was doing real estate. So I was doing both real estate and loans. And then in 2013 is when I started, you know, flipping homes. And so my best years were, you know, 2013, 14, 15.
That's
like,
crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So never really had a down time until I decided to, we'll get into that, I guess. Right.
Yeah. We'll get there.
Yeah.
So then, you know, I start this journey inside of Wake Up Warrior, inside of like this transformation of my life. And I start sharing it on Facebook and, you know, Instagram and whatnot. And then I was out with my wife on one of our date nights. One of the things we pride ourselves on is continuing to go on these date nights. So we go on this date night, and we went to Sushi Roku, of all places, in Newport Beach, and walk up to the bar to do happy hour. And lo and behold, who's sitting right there? Jeff Bataishi.
Yep.
And Jeff Bay. And so he's like, dude, what's going on? I was like, you know, how are you? And you're like, you kind of were in a bad spot, right?
Yeah.
And so what was happening at that point?
So, you know, like financially I was fine. But bad spot as in emotionally wasn't the best. I think, you know, I was probably 2.5 years into my divorce. So for everyone listening, you know, I went through a 3-year divorce. And, in addition to that, obviously I lost, you know, our boy girl twins too. And so, you know, that was like,
and that was like the catalyst, right?
That was the catalyst.
The beginning of the end. So yeah. Jeff had gotten married, and he got married to a girl that he was dating back when I knew him in the Brea days.
Yeah.
And they got married, they got pregnant. And then unfortunately, I'll tell the story because he probably can't, when they lost their twins at birth, a boy, girl twins. They lived for how old?
9 days.
9 days.
Yeah.
Literally died in their arms. And that shattered him.
Yeah.
And shattered your ex-wife.
It beyond anything that we had ever gone through before.
I can't fucking imagine. I mean, it still like raises.
Yeah. No, it's easy to talk about now. I think after this many years. So that happened in 2013, right? September 2013, they were born. They were actually born on my sister's birthday.
Wow.
September 26, 2013. And they passed like 9 days later. And so I guess we'll just go into that now. I mean, like from that day, never been the same. It's like seeing
How could you be the
same? You can't, you know? It's like seeing behind the curtain of what I couldn't even imagine before. I could never have imagined, you know, someone losing someone so close. And, you know, in this case, you know, someone that you didn't even know yet.
Yeah.
Right. Two people you didn't even know yet. You were hoping to know.
And you were so excited to meet.
So excited, you know.
And then for your ex-wife, for her to, you know, have carried them, you know, felt their heartbeats and then, you know, terrible. So yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute when we go kind of fast forward to where we're at now. So ends up losing two twins. Like, I can't imagine. Like, I can't even like look you in the eye when I say it, cause it's fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Which I'm sorry, by the way, cause I can't imagine like losing either one of my children. I think that's probably one of the worst things that could happen to a parent is losing a child, you know.
Yeah. No,
at any stretch of the game, let alone right before you get to know them. So kicks into a divorce. They just couldn't reconcile. They couldn't recover. Tore each other. It just tore you guys apart. And you know, again, this story does have a rainbow at the end of it, because now you've got, you know, Bridget and Sienna, which you wouldn't have, you know, having not experienced that. But it doesn't make the experience less painful, less real.
Right. Yeah. It doesn't. It doesn't make anything okay. You know, it fucking sucked. Right. That it happened. But you know, it just changed the direction of my life. And you know, for so long things were always great. You know, things were always like I feel bad by saying this, but like, you know, we had a really great life, you know? And you know, for something like that to happen, you just lose all faith at that point.
In yourself,
in
God.
Yourself, and God,
the
everything.
The world, the universe, whatever it is you want to call it.
Yeah. And you're just upset. And I'll tell you right now, like it actually brought us really close together, my ex-wife and I, but ultimately, you know, it didn't drive us apart. We just kind of, I think, came apart. Like, I came apart. I know that for sure.
Yeah.
It was just a difficult thing for me to go through.
God damn.
And for her to go through.
So fast forward to, he's 2.5 years into this divorce, which, you know, started shortly after losing his twin babies. And I see Jeff and I'm like, I'm actually kind of on an upward trajectory, right? I'm feeling good. I've lost weight. My marriage is good. My businesses are working. I had found this, you know, this thing called the Core Four in what we practice, and I found these 90-day challenges, and you know, things were going good. And so I ran into Jeff, and I could feel like the aura that was around you, like the heaviness, you know. And the crazy thing was is that, like, again, we didn't like, you know, spend the night at each other's houses and have matching BFF necklaces. But, we like you opened up and you were pretty vulnerable in that moment. I'm like, how you doing? You're like, not that good.
Yeah. I mean, I've always been the guy, like I've always been pretty open about my feelings and whatnot, you know, wear my heart on my sleeve and stuff. But at that time I was just super, cause I was trying to find
something.
Yeah. Something.
Yeah. You know? And I think I shared with you kind of like what I was going through inside of Warrior and inside of like this group of men and what we were doing. And I can see like a little flicker, you know, behind those dark eyes of like, oh man, that's something I got to kind of tap into. And then I don't know if we caught up, we exchanged information. I'm trying to, you know, jog my memory here. We caught up, we exchanged information. Then we kind of stayed in contact, you know?
Yeah. I think I came, we met up one time at your office. I think we had the Warrior talk, right?
Did we?
But then I think it wasn't, it didn't register.
Yeah.
Right. Had I gone back for sure, but just, it wasn't registering because there were so many other things going on in my life.
Yeah.
And so I think we met up just to kind of like maybe catch up.
Yeah.
You know, see how you were doing.
And always talk business, right?
Yeah. Always talk business.
That's the easy thing to talk
about. We're both flexing, right?
This is what I'm doing. Well, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I think that's what a lot of guys do is they posture about business and all this kind of stuff. And we don't realize how closely our feelings about how we view ourselves, our relationships, tie directly into the amount of money we do or do not make, you know?
Yeah, and I think that also, I mean, and sometimes if you have to be posturing all the time in a conversation with someone as close as we were, like, it was because I didn't know that there were men, you know, that I could have this conversation with.
Right.
And now that's all I have.
Right.
Because that's who I'll only allow.
You surround yourself.
Yeah,
with.
Around
me. Yeah, because it's like, it doesn't serve you to have people in your life that don't want to be real, don't want to be honest, you know,
right.
That type of stuff.
Yeah.
So we see each other and that was kind of like, obviously the seeds have been planted long ago, but that was kind of like the first seed of like change of like, okay, here's an exposure to a new way of thinking, a new way of living that might benefit me. Right.
Right.
And then, so, I'm trying to think chronologically here, how everything goes from there, but let's talk a little bit. So divorce is final. Right.
After 3 years. Yeah. Divorce is finally final.
Divorce is final. And then where does Bridget come into your life?
So it's weird because during the divorce, obviously, like I was just, I mean, let's just go back real quick a little bit to how I kind of distanced myself from my previous life, right? Mm. Living in Chino Hills. I went back to Chino Hills. We bought a house. We actually bought, I think, three houses
you
together.
My ex-wife.
Yeah. We're planning on, you know, raising our kids there because we loved the neighborhood. I mean, I lived everywhere else, and then coming back was because, you know, we had such a great childhood
right,
growing up.
Right.
And anyway, so, you know, divorce papers filed. I moved into one of my flips in Placentia, and I'm just kind of living this life where it's, you know, for 2.5-3 years, I'm just, you know, burning the business down, whatever money I had or was making, continue to make, just throw it in places that just didn't serve me whatsoever.
Right.
Traveling, you know, clothes, food, cars, gambling, all kinds of stuff. So just living a pretty bad, and I don't want to say bad because we're on air, but it was just I wasn't doing things that were serving me,
right?
Basically,
yeah. So you're just kind of chasing down things to escape rather than like running after what you want.
Escape is the key word, yeah.
Like isolation, escaping
the death, escaping the marriage,
escaping the pain, yeah.
So finally, divorce final. Sold the house. All these things that were tying me to, you know, my previous marriage and my life before, got rid of everything, and met Bridget actually online, Bumble.
No way.
Tried Bumble out.
So Bumble is the one where they have to choose you. Right?
They have to choose you. Yeah. And
you little Casanova, you were like, I'm so confident, I'm gonna just put myself in the shark tank.
Well, I'll tell you a funny story because I think a lot of friends I knew at the time were on Bumble and whatnot, right? But I'm the guy that's like, hey man, I'm trying to find the one, you know?
Yeah.
Like I've been dating for the past 2.5 years, girls like a lot younger, a lot older.
I've had a lot of Mrs. Right Nows. I just need Mrs. Right.
And so yeah, and so I was like, well, maybe, you know, just like anything, let's put a couple of feelers out there, right? So
sure.
Bumble was one of them. And, you know, the profile was pretty good, but I remember when Bridget sent me the first message, right? It was like, and she'll tell you this tonight, it was probably like 150 words long.
No way.
Just straight up like, you know, hi, nice to meet you. Like, I'm a single parent, like this, that, like just everything.
Here's me. Yeah.
Here's me. Here's my full profile. Like, and I was just super like, I was like blown away. And the one reason why I swiped right, just, you know, there's a photo of her playing golf, which I thought was super sexy because I'm a golfer.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot to mention this guy's an amazing golfer. He was golfed his whole life.
Yeah.
He's like the Thai Tiger Woods.
Yeah. He used to be maybe a little bit. But yeah, that was, we talked back and forth for probably 4 to 6 weeks, you know, because she was
via text and all that kind
of
stuff.
Via text, yeah. She was pretty intense, right? But then I was super intense too. Like my response was like 200 words, you know?
Oh, yeah. I'll see your triple word score and I'll quadruple it.
And so anyway, we finally ended up meeting, I think, after a couple of months. We did, February 22nd. I actually remember the date because it was super, super freaking nervous.
Yeah.
We ended up meeting at Paul Martin's for a cocktail. And she comes in, you know, I had already had a shot of tequila because to calm down the nerves, already on a glass of wine. She comes
tequila
in.
Tequila and wine, huh?
Yeah.
Good combo.
I mix it up all the time, man. And anyway, so we just, we sat down. She's an architect and she loves like, you know, she just loves design and you know, obviously I was flipping houses at the time, so we had a really, really great conversation regarding that, and we were super interested in each other, and it was like a 30-minute, you know, first date, and then she had to go pick up her daughter, and that was it.
And so did you feel anything? Like, was
there, Well, did the nerves, like, I mean, because we had some pretty deep conversations coming up to that first date, I guess the expectation's kind of pretty high, right?
Yeah, because you guys have talked for, I mean, you know each other.
Yeah, and yeah, we know each other at that point, right?
Were you FaceTiming when you were having these conversations?
No, we weren't, but like she had some photos of herself and, you know, I mean, we were still on the app, right?
Yeah.
I think we were still on the app when we met.
You guys are still swiping.
So we didn't exchange numbers until after we met.
You guys were communicating through the app. Yeah. I got it. So you guys meet, there's some energy where you're like, oh yeah, this is gonna go the distance, or you're like, that was a cool first date, like
You know what? It was a cool first date. You know, because we're exactly the same age. I mean, she's a year older than me. You know, at that time, like I didn't wanna mess around, like, and you know, date someone younger, or
come on, that's like the Orange County way.
Yeah, it is, but it wasn't my way.
I know that I'm teasing, because I tried that shit and it did not work very well.
Yeah, I was looking for the deep connection, you know, like the just you kind of feel it, you know.
Yeah. And where did Bridget grow up?
So Bridget grew up in just outside of San Francisco in a town called Moraga.
Okay.
Yeah,
so like a bedroom community or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah,
maybe similar to Chino Hills.
Well, she says it's probably nicer. We've had this discussion before. but yeah, it's a suburb of San Francisco.
Got it.
It's a nice area.
Okay. So, and then Bridget was married previously as well, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, and this is kind of the thing that we, you know, I don't know, not had in common, but we both bonded over. Yeah. Bonded over. We both had a loss. And so, you know, when we met about 4 years prior, her late husband, he passed away, and so Sienna's dad, and so Sienna's 11 now. I think he passed away when she was like probably like six. So it's like it's been 5 years. It'll be five years this year, actually.
Wow.
He was a firefighter, Arcadia Fire Department, and you know, it was tragic. It was he passed away, died in a climbing accident, or a hiking accident. Yeah, he'd gone up in the woods in the mountains for a couple of days with a friend. And, you know, and I think he fell.
Wow.
Yeah.
So here she is. She loses her husband. And how long after she lost him are you guys like talking?
So 4 years.
4 years.
Yeah. Yeah. We've known each other for 2 years and 1 month.
Got it.
So.
Got it. So yeah. It's four years after that accident.
Yeah.
She's kind of putting herself back out there.
Yeah.
So she has a daughter. She's a single mother. What a fucking tragedy that she went through. I mean, it's not like you can put them on a scale and say which one is worse, because they both suck, right?
Yeah.
They're both lost. So you guys are kind of like coming together, being vulnerable,
right?
Being connected through pain, which is a crazy concept, right? Because that's what we talk about here. And she probably just was like, wow,
yeah,
this is someone like I can see myself, you know, settling down with.
Yeah, when you know, it reminds me of one of the times we hung out. You said connected in pain, and you know, the only person I had connected in pain with before that was my ex-wife, right?
Right.
I remember the day that Bridget and I, we were sitting in her backyard, probably date four now, right? So,
yeah.
But you know, I didn't meet Sienna for like months. You know,
good for her.
Yeah. No, she's. I mean, that shows you a lot, right?
Yeah.
That's how she rolls, right? Yeah. So I think it was like Sienna was probably at a friend's house, and I came over for like a barbecue or something, and we sat in the backyard on these two chairs, and we just started talking, and it came up, and I remember we probably talked for like 4 or 5 hours in the backyard, like sun up to sun down, and we were bawling the whole entire time, and so that was like when we really connected on that level.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And it's crazy how, like, you know, we were just talking about this prior to getting on the podcast about posturing and like
right.
pretending that something is and what it isn't and so on and so forth. But when you put down your guard and you're just like, you're just you and you're vulnerable, like how fast you can move with another human being.
Absolutely.
Like
yeah.
How much connection can be forged.
This is an example of it, because we, you know, from day one, our guard was down. Like I wasn't on Bumble to date 10 girls at the same time or have like these phone conversations. I was looking for a mate. Right. And, And, you know, since day one, since we met, we both were super vulnerable.
Wow.
And we spoke from our heart, and that was it.
That's great. So now, fast forward. So you and did I reach out to you? Did you reach out to me?
So this was shortly after our conversation, I think, at your office right here.
Yeah.
And, you know, you reached out to me. So this is actually the time here. I can kind of, cause your son was just born, I think. Right. And you'd started the Horseman thing. We were kind of talking back and forth.
Yeah, I launched the Horseman about a little over a year ago. So no, he had been born, and I was on my path to becoming a certified trainer, and I was like, yeah. I had this vision for this, like, Knights of the Round Table, you know, like elite men sitting around, no head, no foot,
right.
Just like iron sharpening iron, just being elite human beings,
right.
You know, fathers, husbands, so on and so forth.
Right.
Yeah, and then I think I sent you the video.
I think so, yeah.
Or I posted it on Facebook.
I just remember that there was something going on in your life too that was like, I think it was either with your wife, Nicole, or with your son. And then so you kind of put it on hold for a little bit. And then we didn't talk for some time after
that's
that.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. No, so what happened is I launched the Horseman. Well, actually, the truth that happened, Nicole, my wife had a bit of health issues. She's fine, by the way, everybody. So things were just a little bit helter-skelter. But really what was happening is I had been putting off like getting my certification. I didn't really want to like do the work, and we did have that stuff happening in our lives, don't get me wrong. And then I put it on hold because I launched it in December of, I guess that would have been 17.
Okay.
Yeah,
17, that makes sense.
Yeah. And then I didn't do anything. And then I kind of like, I was actually scared because I got a lot of people reaching out. I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm not ready. I'm not ready to lead these people. Like, you know, my marriage is not where I want it to be. My body's not where I want it to be. And so I just kind of hit the pause button. And then I went deep into the work. When I say work, like working on me, like figuring out what I wanted, getting clear on, you know, my life, getting clear on, you know, what I wanted this kind of program to be. And then also, like, I launched this, the podcast.
Right.
And so in that process of, like, going all in on me, what happened is it just started opening up a lot of opportunities. And then so then I had the first group of men come through. I had the second group of men come through. And then fast forward to probably November of last year.
So we met, like, I think, like, June or something last year.
Is that when we went to the water group?
Yeah, yeah.
That was June?
That was, like, June, yeah.
So, okay, I'm trying to think of like the
yeah, because we started in October. I don't know how it happened, but I don't even know how we reconnected. I think I saw something or whatever.
And we went to lunch, right?
Yeah, I went to lunch.
So here we are. We end up at lunch at the Water Grill, which is a beautiful restaurant here in Costa Mesa, California. It's like super high end. And we're sitting at a booth in the window, and within like 4 minutes of a conversation, we're both crying. I think that's when you shared with me,
yeah, because
about the twins,
yeah.
and losing them. And I don't know if I knew that at that point.
I think you knew a little bit, but I knew you were busy. We kind of talked about it. Maybe I shared it. Maybe I didn't back in the day. But
we didn't go into the level.
We didn't go into detail. No,
yeah, and we went into detail, and we're both fucking crying. And I'm sitting there as a father, and like the empathy factor is just pouring out. And then he's like, I don't care what you got, man. I'm in. Like, I'm in. I'm all in. I'm like, all right, hold on. We're going to get through. Let's get through the appetizer first and dry our tears and get a couple more sparkling waters before we get too deep into this thing. So we just had a powerful conversation. I was like, look, I'm just building this group, and it's going to be men who like want to be around like-minded men who want to be better fathers, who want to be better husbands, who want to have better bodies, and, you know, and not better bodies, but healthy bodies and healthy bank accounts. And so you're like, dude, I'm all over that.
Yeah. I mean, who wouldn't want to be all over that, right?
But a lot of people are scared. A lot of people are scared to put in the commitment.
Yeah. And well, I mean, at that point, you know, when we met that day, you know, I was scared to not have that type of accountability or commit myself to something like that. You know, cause here I was, I'd met this beautiful woman, like, you know, this was like a year and a few months after we had first met. You know, I'd known Sienna for like 7 months. We'd traveled together. Like, I loved this woman, you know, and I loved Sienna, like, and so I'd found what I wanted in life. I'd found like my partner. I'd found like, you know, my family. And, you know, for me to find that, like, I had to leave a lot of things, you know, I had to leave my old life, you know, my business, everything. I moved, you know, down to Southern California or to South County.
Right.
And so that's what I needed for myself.
Yeah. So, and a lot of us do. It's weird how we'll be accountable to somebody else more than we would be accountable to the things that we actually want in life. And so here comes Jeff, and he is Mr. E inside of the Next 90 Experience, the Next 90 Mastermind, which is what I make them do. I kind of make them lose their identity and become this anomaly, so they can look at past Jeff and they can look at future Jeff and just kind of be right in the middle of both of this journey to what he ultimately wanted to be. So now let's talk about your experience inside of the Next 90.
Okay, so, well, it's there are so many experiences, man. So leading up to, well, in the Next 90, October, the experience, I guess, initially was uncomfortable, right? Like, you made us feel very uncomfortable because you're calling us out on our shit, you know? Like, we're living this life, like, yeah, everything's great, you know, like, but when the questions come out, like, you know, how do you feel about your relationship? How do you feel about your body? How do you feel about your spirituality? Like,
right.
And those are questions that, you know, we want to lie about. Right. Like, everything's great.
Right.
So initially it was uncomfortable, you know, and sharing it with other men was extremely uncomfortable.
Sharing it with strangers. I'm the only, we had a brother-in-law team in there, but like, you didn't know Michael, you didn't know Paul, you didn't know Franklin. No. Like,
first time I met Michael, he was crying on his video. Like, I mean, and to feel that kind of vulnerability from someone, you know, it allowed me to do the same thing.
And made you understand that you weren't alone.
Made me understand that I was not alone.
Right.
You know, and this was a group of men that, you know, had done a lot in their lives, you know, they'd
been very successful.
Been super successful.
Yeah.
But.
And then you have some of them, and we'll let Franklin tell his own story, but
right.
That look like on the outside, like, fuck, perfect. Yeah. I mean, perfect physique, perfect hair, perfect teeth, perfect
business. Like, what are you doing here?
Yeah,
what the fuck are you doing here?
Like, why are you in this group? And then he starts to open up, and we're like, okay, yeah. Wow, all right. That makes sense, you know? I remember like the excitement. I remember like the jubilation and the like just the raw like energy that you had,
yeah.
You know, when you started and you had like whiteboards going, yeah. you started journaling again, which you used to do a lot and you
right.
hadn't done. And you just like literally came out of the gates like a freaking rocket.
Yeah.
And you started seeing results immediately.
No, right? I was moving fast. Because I think, you know, what kept me from moving at all was, I think, just all the stories I was telling myself, you know, my past, like living in the past, I
right.
think, for, you know. And the whole reason why I even came to this is because I didn't want to do that anymore.
Right.
You know, I had this why in front of me right here, right? Bridget Sienna, like, this was my why.
Sure.
And yet there is some stuff from my past that I had to ultimately get past.
Right.
And, you know, being in this group allowed me to talk about it.
Yeah.
You know?
And
not be judged.
I was just gonna say that, not to be judged and to be vulnerable lest thee be judged, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like,
and don't get me wrong, like, I was open, Bridget, we know each other's stories like left and, you know,
yeah.
front and back, but at the same time, it's a different type of you know, to talk about it with men that are going through the same
right.
thing, it's a completely different thing.
Yeah, the association.
Yeah.
So you had massive growth in your income, right?
Yeah.
I mean, kind of went from a standstill, so to speak, to creating like damn near $100,000 in
yeah.
income. What about your relationship?
That's off the charts, right? Like, we had a great relationship going into this, you know, like we loved each other. We were open with each other. We're honest, but it changed.
Yeah.
You know, it changed, like, because, gosh, I mean, we just connected more.
Right.
You know, we were like one.
Yeah.
If that even means anything, right? We're just sure. like one. No, but you know, I just opened up to her. Like, I probably have never opened up to anyone before.
Sure.
You know, talked about like my shame,
my
guilt.
Yeah.
Yep. Definitely.
And like, again, bonded through like pain, bonded
right.
through vulnerability, bonded through just accountability, you know?
Yeah. And I think it allowed her to do the same too.
And she started seeing changes in you. She started seeing you getting up earlier and getting active, which, like, you know, she started, like, I think she's already been a early riser, but she was,
well, we started hitting the gym together.
She was giving you yeah. compliments and like,
yeah, we're green juice together. I mean,
yeah.
we're living like a similar life, like, in terms of, you know, like what we wanted, like, as far as like athletic, you know,
it's amazing.
Our bodies and our being. Yeah.
So. Amazing. And so out of that came what?
An engagement.
So he got like, you were like in your head about, oh, I want it to be this and I want it to be that.
Right.
And you know, it's got to be the perfect time and the wind has to be coming in at this angle and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like you're trying to hit a goddamn golf shot. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, dude, it's not about precision.
No, I was trying to hit a fucking grand slam, like yeah, right off. Yeah.
It's not about precision, man. It's about progress and about making a decision. And I remember you and I had the conversation. I'm like, what do you want?
Yeah.
And what was your answer?
I want to be married.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Then why don't you go do that? And you're like,
oh, because yeah. I gotta get that. Yeah.
But then you were like, fuck it. Like I'm in. So you guys planned a trip to Hawaii, or you planned the trip to Hawaii?
No, we went last year, so we wanted it to be our annual thing. Yeah. So we planned it together.
Okay.
But I had not planned on buying a ring in Hawaii. Like so rewind like 2-3 months, right? I knew I wanted to ask this woman to marry me.
Right.
And above that, I knew I wanted to make sure that it was okay with Sienna. Mm-hmm. So I'd asked Sienna back, I think.
Which is her daughter,
just after we started our next 90.
Right.
And so every week, and Sienna's like, Jeff, are we getting a look for the ring yet? And I kept on putting it off. Because in my mind, I wanted to buy a certain type of ring and I wanted to spend a certain amount of money. And so that's what was holding me back. That was the fucking story, right?
Right.
So, and that was the story that played in my head all the way up until December, like when we were about to go on this trip. And so that's when I think we had a call, me, you and the guys, and I kind of like talked about it and you guys shared your stories about when you guys got engaged. Yeah. It wasn't fucking perfect.
No. And I proposed to Nicole with a cubic fucking
zirconia. With
a
CZ. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, what, you know? Yeah. And you told me, and your mom helped you guys buy it. Yep. Like, yeah.
Yep.
And then Paul told me the story about, you know, how he proposed, his mom bought the ring for his wife.
Right.
And so I was like, what the fuck am I doing here? Like, why am I so like hell bent on getting a certain type of ring?
Because we have these stories, right? And then like our thoughts are nothing more than stories that like guide us and tell us what we are not doing is right or wrong. And so, and they often hold us back. They're the same things that can empower us to get to wherever it is we want to be, keep us stuck where we are, or go backwards. And so all we did inside of this whole group was just hold up a mirror, tell you my story and how it turned out, and you hear permission from another man, it's like, okay, fuck, I'm kind of doing this wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So you decided and you,
decided.
Dude, you were so excited. You almost like proposed to her on the plane without the ring.
No,
you're so excited.
So it's amazing what you can do when you make a decision, right? So within like a few days of going to, for leaving, we left the day after Christmas. I was like trying to find a ring like the day before Christmas. I was trying to get one before we could go on this trip, right?
Yeah.
Because we're in Hawaii. Like, where do I look for a ring? Right. So me and Sienna went looking, and like, nope. Every place that sells a diamond ring has a certain size, right? It's like their display size. And so it would take a couple of days to get it resized. And once I'm like, dude, I don't have fucking time. Like, I need this thing today. And so I could have got it then, but then like my options were less and the price was just way more. Yeah. So then I was thinking, well, maybe I'll just get like a branch and like make it like a circle and just ask her on the beach in Hawaii.
Which she would have loved.
And me and Sienna are like, that's what we're going to do. I'm going to do that. Right. And so the story must have changed like 10 times, like, you know, between like, you know, here in Hawaii. So anyways, I lived in Hawaii before and so I had friends in Hawaii and I called up my sister's best friend, Sandy Bryan. Mm-hmm. Sandy, I love you, by the way, if you're listening to this, because she's absolutely an amazing person. And she put me in touch with her jeweler, there in Hawaii. And so the second day we were there, Sienna and I made an excuse to go surfing and, you know, allowed us to get away for three hours ring surfing. Right. So we go to this jeweler, Sandy meets us there and, you know, amazing guy. And he asks us, what kind of ring do you want? Well, you know, 6 months ago we were in New York and we're looking at rings at Tiffany's and Bridget had like this yellow diamond gold band. And so that's what I asked for. And lo and behold, the guy brings out a few yellow diamonds.
No way.
Some really cool settings.
See what happens when you put it out there in the universe and you have intention around it.
And then Sienna picked out the diamonds. So Sienna actually picked out the ring.
Oh, how cool is that?
Which made it even better because she was involved in the whole process. That's which was insane. Great. Yeah.
And the crazy thing is what he's not telling you is that he involved her parents and then he actually involved the parents of Bridget's late husband.
Right.
And asked basically for their permission because it's still very much their granddaughter and you know, all that kind of stuff. And so just totally above board. So you give her the ring. She says,
yes.
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 And so, dude, this is what's crazy is like, I got a fortune cookie and I open up a fortune cookie, and it's, I think that's in my car. I got to give it to you tonight. And it says,
oh, you kept it.
It says wedding bells are in the future. And I sent it to Jeff, and he's like, dude, I saved the date. And so I go, hey, by the way, you know that I've performed like 4 weddings, and I've got like a 75% average of the couples are still together. There's only one that's not.
No, man.
And so he's like, dude, let's do it. I was 100% joking, but tonight as well, it's not going to be tonight when you listen to this, but like the night that we're recording this is him and Bridget and Sienna are coming over to my house with Nicole and Nevin and Noah. And we're going to talk about like me actually performing at the wedding. So how fucking crazy is this full circle life that starts back in junior high school, goes through all those different phases of life to where like I'll be honored and be standing up there like on a day like which you will undoubtedly remember for the rest of your life. The most important day, led like by the certainty and power that you've had inside of these principles we're practicing.
Right.
It's fucking crazy.
It is crazy. Yeah.
And a lot of that too came as a result of like getting super clear inside of the blackout.
So much has happened. I'll just say that right now. Like when we talk about like
movement of life,
when I decided to do this, right. when you decided to do this, it's only been 5 months.
I know.
Right. Since we started the first 90,
yeah, 5 months and
blackout, and now we're on the next 90.
You've created additional income. You've created more connection with you and Bridget. You're going to get married, for Christ's sakes. Like the way you look at that, Sienna has truly changed.
Yeah.
You know, and like there's a wedding. This will be the first ever next 90 wedding. I can't tell you that it's not going to be the last, but it's going to be the first.
Nope.
Dude, so that's super cool.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of you, man.
We're excited, and they're excited to meet you too. And, you know, it's funny because I think, you know, Sienna's been around a couple of the Zoom calls that we've been on. Uh-huh. Just, and she like, you know, likes to lurk in the background. She knows who you are, which is kind of great because she's heard your voice before.
Probably heard me drop an F-bomb or two.
I'll keep
it tame tonight at dinner. So, all right. Well, we're running a little bit short on time, but I wanted just like, if you could describe your blackout experience in one word, what would it be?
In one word, oh wow. Wow. I mean,
is wow the word?
Wow is probably the word. I mean, there's a lot of words, right? Scared.
Yeah.
Like afraid for my life,
right.
You know, going into it.
Right.
And eye opening. Clear, like light coming out of it.
Light. I think that's a good one.
Light's coming. Yeah. Coming out of it. I don't care who you are. I mean, we're 40 years old. We're not perfect people.
Hell no.
There's a lot of stuff that we've stuffed, you know, deep down inside. And I'll tell you right now, that shit all came out.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was great. You guys had an amazing group that like were like so bonded and so forged together. Like it was quite incredible. And then out of that, just you came out on fire. The crazy part is that what people don't realize is sometimes you come out of this thing and you get what's called the blackout hangover, you know, where you're just like, because you deplete so much emotion and like you're so clear, but then you just like, oh, you like almost exhale. And it takes a minute to kind of get it fired back up, you know?
I had that for about 2-3 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was tough.
And now you're back on track. You guys are moving into a beautiful new home soon.
Yeah. We're finishing up a new
place.
Being
designed by your fiance, future wife.
Yeah.
You're doing kind of all the, you know, floor plan, you know,
I'm just helping manage. Yeah. Yeah. The builder now, cause she's super busy. Yeah.
Yeah. You've got a new business going, which is already starting to get, traction.
For sure.
You got a wedding that's happening in you know, less than 30 days.
Yeah.
And,
all these things that were like unclear before are just so clear now, like, you know, the decision to like decide to ask her to marry me, to get married, you know, we're making a move.
And then you also had a story around like trying to make it the perfect wedding.
Right.
And he's like, no, I was like, what do you want? And you're like, I want to get married. I'm like, then do that. And you and Bridget having radical conversations and clarity, like now everything's just freaking moving so fast.
Yeah.
So, dude, what would you say to anybody that like doubts, you know, like the next 90, whether this works, if it's, you know, just for, you know, the quote unquote, like elite male entrepreneur.
Wow. So there's a lot of doubters out there. I mean, obviously, you know that, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's because people just, they can't get clear on what they want.
Right.
And they're unable to decide, you know, if they need to do something to make it happen. That I think a lot of people tend to look within to try to change their lives. But, you know, at the end of the day, sometimes you have to look outside, you know?
Yep.
And that's what happened for me. I found a group of men. And for anyone listening to this that could you know benefit from you know being able to be vulnerable to other men, being able to be held accountable by other men,
yeah,
for the same purpose, to be a better father, to be a better husband, you know, to be a better businessman, like it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, who doesn't want that?
Who doesn't want it?
And by the way, it's not just for like a guy that I've known since junior high school. I know that seems like a lot of the guys that come on here I've known a while, but it's just because that's the guys that were trusting enough and vulnerable enough to open up to me. But I've got guys like Franklin Swan and you know Kelly Robinson and all these guys that like I didn't know from fucking Adam, well, Bill Brundage that came into this group.
Well, let's be honest, like we know each other, but did I really know you? You're a completely different man.
Yeah,
like yeah,
exactly.
So much has happened. Yeah.
So that's what I'm trying to tell people. Yeah. Like this is just something about association, about accountability, about vulnerability, and about just getting clear on what you want and fucking doing it.
Yeah.
And being and not apologizing for it.
Absolutely.
So, brother, I'm super proud of you, man. I love you.
Thanks, man. I love you too, buddy.
I can't wait. I'll be bawling like a baby, man. Like watching you.
We're looking forward to it.
You stand.
Who else knows me as well as you know me to be able to do that?
It's
going to
be so fun. It's going to be so crazy. So looking forward to tonight.
I am.
Because I haven't even met Bridget and Sienna, but I feel like I know them so well. So when I see them, I'm going to give them a big old hug and just thank them. And we'll have some laughs tonight. And dude, I really appreciate you.
Sounds good, man.
So closing thoughts here. Just what would you want everybody to know about you and your experience inside the Next 90?
Yeah, so my experience, it's just clarity. Clarity is the biggest thing. At this point in my life, there's been so much that's happened.
Yeah.
And just being clear on what's important, what's not important, who's important, right, why they're important.
Right.
You know, like, what do I want, right? Like, I had to decide what I wanted. Yeah. I wanted a life with Bridget and Sienna.
The end.
And that's it, period.
Okay, and then that's your why, and then you build everything off
absolutely
of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so clarity, power, purpose, but clarity, really, and clarity through accountability and vulnerability. So if you're a man and this message is resonating with you, I know my ladies out there are like, what about all the ladies? Like, I really am working with men right now only because I am one and I am a man just like Jeff, 39 years old, that hasn't been through everything that he's been through, but I feel his pain. And so like I'm trying to build an elite group of men around me, led by me, through my vulnerability and my wanting and needing to evolve. And so if you're a man and you and this resonates with you, Jeff's message resonate with you, just send me an email to nick@ownthenext90, subject line alphabet soup, and that is
alphabet soup,
and that's reference to his last name. It almost has every letter in the alphabet. So alphabet soup will be what I'll know that's Jeff's specific message. If you're a man that's had lost, if you're a man that's been divorced, if you're a man that like just is like, fuck, I want change and I need what I'm hearing here, just be vulnerable and reach out, man. We'll see if it's a good fit. If it's not, no worries. If anything else, you're going to get some clarity on a call with me. So please don't hesitate to reach out. Jeff, I love you. Let's break some bread tonight.
Sounds
good,
brother.
And let's continue to level up our life in ways that only we can do, because we are the ones that are responsible for it. So I would tell all of you out there in the Next 90 Nation that I hope you're well, but hope is the lottery ticket that sits on my desk. And so now I'm just going to say be well and know that you're the only one in charge of it. And until next time, own the Next 90. I'm out.